My name is Epiphany Butler. I am a student at School 426. As part of the History Channel Save Our History grant program, our school will be conducting oral histories of men and women from the Northeast Baltimore's neighborhoods so that we can learn more about the community in which we live and go to school. This interview is being recorded on Sunday, March 13, 2005. I will be interviewing Beverly Ann Dorsey at 8100 Corn Drive. This interview began at 4:50 p.m. We will be discussing neighborhood life, education, worship, and work. When and where were you born?
I was born on the 2700 block of Greenmount Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland.
What is your full name?
Beverly Ann Dorsey.
Do you remember having a favorite nursery rhyme or bedtime story? What was it?
No, I don't.
What were your favorite games and toys?
Baseball, football, volleyball, swimming. And I guess that was about it.
Toys?
Toys, dolls, mostly dolls, trains.
What school did you attend and what grade?
I went to Barclay Elementary from 1 to 6th grade. I went to Roland Park Middle School for 7th and 8th grade. And I went to Mercanthal Vocational Technical High School for 9th, 10th, and part of the 11th grade.
Okay. What was school like for you?
Social, very social. It's where you went with your friends and all that.
How did you get to school?
Walked for Barclay Elementary, took a bus for middle school and high school.
Did you like school? Why or why not?
I liked school at times. Sometimes I didn't. The older I got, the less I liked it.
Were you given any special awards for your studies or school activities?
No.
How many years of school did you complete?
10.
Did you get a college degree? If so, what field of study?
No.
What did you usually wear to school? Can you describe it, please?
We wore skirts, blouses, dresses. We weren't allowed to wear slacks or shorts.
Were there any fads during your youth that you remember vividly?
Bell-bottom pants and platform shoes. Long straight hair. A lot of makeup.
What was your religion growing up? What church, if any, did you attend?
Episcopalian, and I went to St. John's Episcopal Church on Greenmount Avenue.
Did you participate in any special activities at church?
Sang in the choir until I was 16.
How old were you when you first started dating? Where was your first date? Who was your first date? And where was your first date?
My first date, I was 15 years old. It was a boy named David Neal Hilton, which I later married, and I went to the Boulevard movie.
What events had the most effect on your life?
The Vietnam War and the riots.
Did your family do anything to help the community?
My mother did a lot of things with the church. Bake sales, anything to do with the church. My father just worked all the time.
Were there any special events happen in your community that you remember?
No.
How was the neighborhood different from when you were growing up?
The neighborhood's changed. It's not as clean. There's not as many things going on for the children or for the even adults now. Used to be you could go to the stadium for the ball games or the football games. There was an ice skating rink there in the wintertime. There was always church dances at the church that we always went to. Saturdays were mostly spent at the movies. Waverly movie, which is not there anymore. Used to be at Arundel Ice Cream Place on 32nd and Greenmount, I think it was, 31st or 32nd and Greenmount. There, we used to go there. After school, we would go to Reed's Drugstore because they had like a fountain place in there. Most of the times we spent close to home.
What would you do close to home?
Well, all your friends lived in the neighborhood, so you would just either go over to the school playground and play over there, or play baseball, basketball, hang out just close to home. We all stayed close to home.
Were there any wars during your lifetime?
Vietnam War.
How did it affect you?
Didn't affect me so much. It affected a lot of my friends because a lot of them were drafted.
Did the war affect your friends?
Well, they were taking young boys that were not trained to be in the war. Most of them were facing some kind of criminal charges, and they were sending them off to war because I guess they didn't have enough people to go to war. So when the boys went to court, the judges would say to them, either go in the service or go to jail. The boys went in the service. There's a lot of boys killed there. I watched a lot of parents grieve because they were sending boys into war that weren't trained to go into war. Like now, they're trained to go to war. But in a draft, they're not trained. They're just taken. They're given minimal training, weeks of training, and then they're sent right into war. That's wrong. That's wrong to do that. And they were taking them off the streets. It seemed like they were there one day and gone the next, like spaceships were coming to get them or something, you know, like they were taking them right off the street. They were there one day and the next day they were gone. And that's what the draft did. I don't go along with the draft. I don't think they should do a draft. They should find other alternatives. It's killing people that are not qualified to be in the war.
Any of your family or loved ones drafted into the war?
My nephew wasn't drafted. He joined the war, but he was killed in Vietnam. My sister's son was killed there, and it had a very bad effect on the family because of the war. Everybody was against the war. I'm not so sure I even understand it today. Except that I know that the draft is wrong, and I believe that's wrong. I don't understand wars. I'm not a politician, but I know that the draft is wrong because it takes people that are not qualified to do that kind of job.
You mentioned riots earlier in the interview. How did the riots affect you? Why were there riots?
There was riots because when I was growing up, including me, as white people, were very, very prejudiced. I can't speak for the black people because I didn't know any black people at that time. And they started down below 25th Street burning and rioting, and it scared everyone in the neighborhood. It scared everyone. There was a lot of violence. I can remember men in our neighborhood and even men in our family loading guns and keeping loaded guns in the house so that if the riots moved up to our neighborhood, which we expected it to do, that they were going to shoot them. There was a curfew at dark. Nobody could be out on the street after dark. And a lot of people were hurt. A lot of people were hurt for it.
Why were most of the riots caused?
Because of prejudice. Whites prejudiced against the blacks. Again, I can't speak for the blacks because I didn't know any at that time. I'm sure they hated us just because we were white. So it was a terrible, 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 ignorant time.
The riots affect you and your family?
I think that it mostly affected us because at that point, then they were changing the school systems, and of course the blacks were coming into the school systems, and the white children, even myself, were not used to that because we were brought up prejudiced. And I think that it was a terrible time for the blacks and the whites because I think there was so much hatred because of the way our generation was brought up. Our parents were very, very prejudiced, black and white.
Were you really against the four, the way they were acting?
Oh, the way who was acting?
The blacks and the whites.
I didn't really understand it except that it was hatred. I was just afraid.
Do you remember having any family members or loved ones hurt in the riot, during the riots?
No, the riots didn't come up to 30th Street where we lived at. It pretty much stayed down around 25th Street. The National Guard came in and they contained the riots down 25th Street.
The most influenced you the most?
I guess Kennedy did. I guess he did because it affected all of us because he was for this discrimination and this hatred and everything, segregation. He was against all that and he wanted it to stop. And of course, people were so prejudiced that even today, it's taken this long to get this far, and it still exists, and that's sad.
How did you feel when he was assassinated?
We were scared. We were scared because we thought that when he was assassinated, that it may have had something to do with going to war again, or going into another war. We thought when he was killed that the other countries would attack us.
So you're saying that you believe Kennedy was so strong that when he was assassinated, the country's enemies will come and hit since he's gone?
Yes.
What made you feel that way?
Because he was such a strong president, and we believe that he was the president that was trying to stop all the wars, and even though there was a Vietnam War, I believe that he was a president that didn't want wars. And when he was killed, we thought right away that these presidents that came after him would take us into more wars.
As you see it, what was the biggest problem that faced our nation when you were a child?
Wars. Atomic wars. We thought that the nations would get atomic wars and blow each other up. We had, in school, we had all kinds of drills where if they dropped atomic bombs, that we would all be killed, and they would make us do drills like get underneath the desk, go to shelters. War was always talked about, and it was always thought about, and we always believed that would kill us all, that it would, you know, annihilate the nations, that these atomic bombs that they were building would kill us all.
How did these drills that you had in school affect you?
We were scared to death. We were children, and we were scared. We just thought that we were going to be blowed up all the time.
Did they have any drills for you at home?
No, but it was talked about at home all the time. If anything happened, to get home quick, you know, just to be aware of what's going on around you. If you heard anything like bombs being dropped or something like that, to get home quick.
How did these world problems affect the elder in your family?
Well, we were scared of them. They were scared. We were scared for them. Because as children, we knew that they couldn't run as fast or get anywhere, or they would be killed. But then we all believed we were going to be killed at that time.
How did the community Waverly and Barkley in which you live change, or good ways of changing?
I guess the good things changed after the riots. People, the hatred started to change. The schools started to change. There was more jobs because of the war, so people worked more.
Did you feel, after the riots ended, did you feel that the blacks and the whites had a better communication, or they had a better relationship?
It took a very long time. It took a very long time. I think that I really didn't start to see it until I went to high school, and that was 4 or 5 years later, where you could actually stand and talk together and not be criticized for it. I guess socialize more, because you weren't allowed to do that before the riots. If white people were caught talking to blacks, they used terrible, terrible names for them and taunted them. And you were just outcast for it.
What were some of the names, or like some of their ways in taunting you, if you were caught talking or socializing with that person?
Well, they called you bad names.
Right.
Well, at that time, they called black people niggers, and you were called nigger lovers, and it was horrible. It was just horrible. You couldn't do it. You just were, everybody just was so hateful and just so, I don't know, they just, it was ignorance, they didn't understand.
Would you put yourself in the category of these? Would you put yourself, or did you ever act in any way, like?
Was I prejudiced?
Yeah.
Yes, I was raised very prejudiced. And as I got older, and that's the way the riots changed things, as I got older and started to go to school with black people and learn about their ways and about that they were real, you know, real nice people and stuff like that, that changed the way you thought about them. But we didn't know that before then, because we never talked with black people, or we never lived with black people, or they were where they were supposed to be and we were where we were supposed to be.
Do you ever recall yourself having a black friend?
Yes, I had several black friends, but mine didn't let my family know it, because my family was very prejudiced. My mother was very prejudiced and my father was very prejudiced.
Are you still prejudiced today?
No. No.
What changed you?
I guess living, having black friends, having black blood now in my family. Just, I guess, getting to know that that's not what black people are all about. Not all that hatred. Although I do see, even today, that there are black people that are prejudiced against white people, just as white people are prejudiced against black people. It still exists.
Family, mother, father, sister, brother, ever catch you talking or socializing with a black person?
Yes. I brought a black girlfriend home from school one time, and my father started ramping and raving, talking about, you can't bring black people here, the neighbors won't understand, they belong where they belong, you belong where you belong. He was very prejudiced. He was brought up very prejudiced, and he was very prejudiced.
How did that hurt you and your friend when that happened?
It hurt us very bad, because we knew that what they were saying wasn't true. But as children, we listened to our parents. That's where things have changed today. No matter what our parents said, we listened.
Did your friend put you in responsibility for your father's actions?
No. She knew that the prejudice was there, because her father would have reacted the same way had she brought me home.
Happy nowadays when you see black and white kids socializing, or you see how people are trying to change the the discrimination and segregation in every place you look?
I'm happy to see that that's happened. I think that the younger people are trying to use what our parents did to make a lot of excuses to why they do things they do today. In other words, they say that people were still prejudiced, there is still prejudice, but nothing like it was, and they couldn't understand that because they didn't live in that time. And the younger people, white and black today, use it for the reasons they do things. Why they do things against blacks, or why they do things against whites. And that has nothing to do with their time now. They're just using it because they want to do things and they know it's not right, so they'll just use that as an excuse. How could they possibly know how we felt? They didn't live in that time. We lived in that time. And if they, the younger, your generation, would just let that go. I know it was a horrible thing. It was a horrible thing for all of us. The blacks have to understand that the whites were also scared and hurt as well as the black people were. We were discriminated against as much as the blacks were. Through hatred, they hated us. But that was our parents and the people before us. That's not this generation here. And I think when the older black people and the older white people let the prejudice go, the young people will let it go too.
So are you in a way happy to see how the community has turned out?
Yeah.
Turned around?
Yeah. Except that there are so many drugs and violence, and I think the violence comes mostly from the drugs. The drugs are the cause of the violence. If they do something about the drug situation, I think that the violence will never stop, but it will certainly slow it down.
Is that the only thing you found bad about the community as it is today?
There should be more jobs. When I was a teenager, there was always jobs for the teens. I don't see so many teenagers working now. I think that there should be more jobs made for the young people so that they don't have so much time on the streets. The young people go so far away from their homes now. We never went far away from our home. We all stayed close to home.
I still have a friend from during the riot times that you still speak to? The times of the riots and the racism and the discrimination?
No, I don't. We all kind of went our different ways. I don't, a lot of my friends died in Vietnam, and a lot of them died from drugs. It was a lot of drugs. Not as much as now, but there was a lot of drugs then too. And a lot of them are dead from that. Most of the other people that I grew up with are living in other states or...
Do you have any black or African-American friends now?
Yes, quite a few.
Can you go back into the community today?
Well, I am so pleased that my granddaughters now live in Waverly. They're being raised in the same neighborhood, actually about 3 blocks away from where I was raised. It just pleases me to go over there, because I go over and pick them up all the time. Pleases me to go over there, and they are right in the area where I was raised.
Are you happy to see your old neighborhood when you go back, or is it like, oh, it's nice to be back, but I don't want to be back?
It's not that I don't want to be back. It's just that it's changed so much. As I mentioned earlier, it's not as clean as it used to be. It used to be a very close-knit community, you lived there, your uncles lived there, your sisters stayed in the neighborhood. Now everybody's kind of like, it was more like the families were all there. It was nice, everything was in the community. You went shopping in the community. You went to dinner in the community. You went to the movies. Everything you did was in your community. Everybody knew you. We couldn't get in too much trouble when we were kids because everybody knew us. We knew the police officers. There was always foot patrol. Our families knew them as well as you knew your next door neighbor. Everybody was poor. There wasn't any rich people that lived in Waverly. They were people that were middle class people, were poor people. We didn't have a car. It didn't bother us because most people in the neighborhood didn't have a car anyway. So why should it bother us? We didn't even know it, that it was, you know, not good to not have a car. Didn't have phones because most people didn't have phones. We all went shopping at the same store, so it wasn't a clothing issue. We all went to stores that were in the... Waverly was a very, very, very beautiful, beautiful neighborhood. It was kept well. People had a lot of pride. That's not there anymore. You can see in the neighborhoods. Wyman Park was a wonderful, wonderful place to go when you were a kid. It's changed. You don't go over any. When I go over there anymore, it's, you don't see the kids out on the street playing like they used to. The parents sitting outside watching the kids, and it's just not. It doesn't feel very happy anymore. It feels dangerous. I don't know if that's because of my age, but it just feels like it's danger there now instead of love and family and all that. People were scared of violence. It wasn't violent like it is now.
If it was like it was when you were a child, the community lifestyle, how it looked, how it was, the non-violence and stuff, would you still live there?
Oh yes, I love that area. It's beautiful. Love the trees over by Wyman's Park, University Parkway. It's just a beautiful area. It's beautiful. Greenmount Avenue used to be beautiful. It was well kept, and now it looks like people don't care. The junk stores and I don't know, it's just, the buildings are just decaying. It was just so beautiful, and it's not anymore.
Does that make you feel sad in any way?
Yes, it does.
Or disappointed?
Yes, I'm disappointed in the people that live there. I don't know if it's because another generation lives there. If it's a different difference because of the violence or the drugs or what, but it's not a happy place anymore. It just doesn't look or feel the same way it used to.
Are you scared every time you go around there?
I would be scared there at night, yes. I would be afraid to be on Greenmount Avenue after dark.
Do you think that the people living in the neighborhood could fix it or make it as it was when you were a child?
I think that what needs to happen is families need to become more committed to each other like we were when I was growing up and when I lived in Waverly. The family was everything. You respected your mother and father. That's gone. It's not only gone in the Waverly community, it's gone in every community. The respect for the law is gone. Not only in Waverly, in all communities. I think that the problems need to be fixed at home first. I don't know how that's going to happen. It's a different times now, but all communities can fix what's broke. It needs to have good leadership, good people to do that. Need to get back into the churches, need to get back into community things, church activities. They need to have monies to fix up the properties so that it doesn't look so bad. Need to have people get pride back in their community, because it was a good community, and it can be a good community now.
What are some ways that you would help the community, if you could?
I don't know. There needs to be more organizations, more community organizations, more politicians caring about the community. Our politicians always care. You could always depend on the politicians, to the councilmen, councilwomen, whatever, to step in and correct a lot of the problems that were going on in the community. Churches were always a big part of the community. St. John's Church, St. Philip and James. Of course, when they took the stadium out, that took away from them a lot of the community, because that was a big part of the community. When you take a big part of a community like the Memorial Stadium away, you take a lot of history and a lot of family togetherness, because the families all went to the stadium together. The movies, stuff like that, things that families did together. When you take stuff like that away, it hurts the community.
Is there anything you would like to say or put in or state before this interview is over?
The only thing I have to say is that I had a very, very, very good childhood. Mother and father in the home. We lived in a good community. Waverly was a good community. My granddaughters are living there now. And I hope, for their sake, that it changes. Because if it doesn't change, they will also leave the community that I loved and the community that they're living in now.
This interview is over at 6:05. Yeah.